Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Pricks on Flicks with Vince and Chris. I'm Vince.
And I'm Chris.
And with us in studio is Threaten.
Hey.
So, last night we went and saw Ready Player One.
Yeah. And today we used our movie passes to go see Uprising.
What was the name of the movie?
I just said it. Pacific Rim Uprising.
I was waiting for you to say Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim Uprising.
We had a pretty good group go to see Ready Player One last night. Yeah. There was like, seven of us?
Yeah. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yeah.
Yeah. And do we want to get right into it or?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to say you guys did a good podcast last week.
We're glad to have you back, though.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. There was some love. You guys said you guys respected my opinion. I was like the Indian in the old gas commercial with the teardrop coming down. Yeah.
We agreed before to do a little lying about that.
Yeah, we also picked on you a little bit, too, once in a while.
Well, you said I hate Seinfeld. I don't hate Seinfeld.
I didn't say hate. I said despise, which is worse than hate.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you did.
No, I hate... Okay. I hate every character on that show except for Jerry. They are the most unbelievable characters, I think, ever in a sitcom that I've ever watched.
But George isn't unbelievable. He's a real person. His name is Larry David.
I hate Larry David, too.
Larry David, modeled George Costanza himself.
So basically, how I feel about George is he might not be unbelievable because, as you said, he's Larry David. I don't like Larry David either. I don't like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't hate it. I just feel like it's unrealistic that this person has friends. I don't think so.
Nobody really likes Larry.
Right. Nobody would ever like.
The only one that likes Larry is Leon.
Yeah.
I mean,
he doesn't have friends. He has a wife. He had a wife. Like, he has all these people that actually care for him. So
had.
Yeah.
And any friends that he had used to be his friends are not anymore because he's
I guess that's
terrible.
Why I know I can only listen. I can only watch. I can't binge that show. I got a limit of three, and then I'm like, I can't.
Right. This guy can't be. I feel the same way about it as I do like the Danny McBride character in Eastbound and Down.
See, I can watch Eastbound and Down, Vice Principals, Curb Your Enthusiasm for 40 hours straight.
I can't. It's just too excruciating for me to watch. I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake. And I felt like Jerry, there's no way Jerry would have maintained friendship with George. He's such a fucking ridiculous
They were friends since they were kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Jerry wasn't a peach either.
Who?
Jerry wasn't a peach either.
He was kind of hard to deal with, but I liked him, though. I liked him. And he had some good lines.
Jerry's stuff that he did that was bad was usually inadvertent.
Yeah.
Like when he stole the bread from the old lady. That wasn't inadvertent. He really stole the bread, but it was a situation where most people probably would have done that. Oh, shut up, your old bag.
I like when he rented the car and they didn't have the car, and so he wound up getting like the worst car they had or whatever. She's like, would you like the insurance on it? He was like, oh yes, I'm going to beat the holy hell out of this car. that's funny to me. Like, I like that, but George just running around screaming all the time. And
George just running around screaming all the time.
He was always Jerry. He was like his father. What's his name? Jerry Stiller. It irritates me.
I mean, George did yell once in a while, but I wouldn't classify it as running around screaming all the time.
He was always yelling. I believe I've seen every single episode of Seinfeld, and I believe that he yelled more than he talked normal. Because that was one of the reasons I didn't like the show. Because it was
I don't think that's true.
Fat bald guy just running around being stupid and ridiculous. And I'm like, dude, nobody would be friends with that guy.
I don't know. I'm friends with people I really don't like.
Really?
Yeah. I know you're friends with people that you don't like either. I'm not going to name them.
I'm not either. I'm just saying I wouldn't say I'm friends with people I don't like. I tolerate being around people I don't like, but I certainly don't go out of my way to hang out with those people. If I'm out and they see me and they come around me or whatever, that's one thing, but I'll never make plans like to go somewhere and hang out with them. I mean, like, George and Jerry hung out like every day.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, on the show, like they were together in every episode. I mean, it just.
Okay, but that's a TV show and that's not reality because nobody in real life really hangs out with somebody every day. not a friend. It doesn't really happen. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
Especially a group of four friends: Elaine, yeah. George, Jerry, and Kramer.
You don't
have groups of four people that see each other every single day of their lives.
No, but I could see in a real life situation Jerry and Kramer seeing each other every day.
Yeah, because they live next door.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I digress. I don't hate the show Seinfeld. I don't hate a show that I've seen every episode of. We were just talking about Sons of Anarchy. I didn't hate that show. It just got really fucking stupid. But
oh, I hated it. I watched every episode of Sons of Anarchy, and I loved the first two seasons. Somewhere around the end of season three, I started to dislike it. Somewhere around season four and a half or five, I started to hate it.
Was it when Jax picked up the RPG he's never seen in his life before and shot it like he was raised by the fucking Taliban?
Yeah, but you stole that line from me. That was my line.
I was going to give you credit. That was probably one of the funniest things you've ever said in your life.
Yeah, The scene threatened was when they open up this trunk full of weapons and Juice says, "Whoa, we've never even seen stuff like this before. This is straight up Call of Duty shit."
Yeah.
And so Jax is like, "Yeah, we've never even dealt with stuff, never even seen these types of weapons." 5 minutes later, he's picking up an RPG out of that chest and shooting it accurately like he was raised by the Taliban. It's just completely unreal show. It got so ridiculous.
Gunfights on the highway when they got their fucking vests on that with Sam Crow written on the back. And there's a bumper to bumper traffic, and these gunfights happen in front of 100 people, and cops never knock on the door and say, "Hey, we got about 500 witnesses that seen somebody with Sam Crow written on your vest."
Who did Kurt Sutter play? Otto?
The guy who bit off his own tongue. Yeah. That was so stupid. You could just not talk, dude.
Was that Otto?
Yes.
Remember when he was in prison and they showed him like crying and getting raped? And it was at the very beginning of an episode. He's like sitting there. He's like covered in his own blood, piss, and tears. And also that his cellmates come and just sitting there bawling his eyes out while dude's pounding him, and I start laughing because it was just so ridiculous. And I don't think that is the reaction that Kurt Sutter was looking for from that scene.
No, he was probably trying to make you feel sorry for this guy. It just didn't. It was just a show. I didn't hate it. It just wound up becoming terrible. Same thing with
was
True
it
Blood.
As terrible as True Blood?
And True Blood had boobs.
Yeah, I think it's like equally terrible.
True Blood had boobs in every episode.
All right. What are we drinking today?
Oh, we're drinking probably the best beer on the planet.
I found a new one a few weeks ago.
Do you like this? KBS by Founders is what we're drinking. You like the Chai Stout more than you like KBS?
Yeah, I think I like the Neapolitan Milk Stout more than I like KBS now, too.
Ooh. A lot of
things changed since you've been
gone. Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I go to Europe or come back and KBS is third on the list or a breakfast out. It's just this is a Founders puts out a beer. They make a beer called Breakfast Out, and every year they do things with it. Every year they put it in a bourbon barrel and age it. And that's KBS, Kentucky Breakfast Out. And they've also a couple times put it in maple syrup barrels, and that's CBS, Canadian Breakfast Out. This is the bourbon one, and it's a very hard beer to acquire. Chris got a couple bombers. We're drinking it. I haven't tried it yet. Did you try it?
Yeah.
I'm taking a sip now. Here it goes.
I will say the aftertaste of this is much better than the chai milk stout.
Oh my God, this is so good.
It's pretty good.
So good.
It's pretty good.
Oh my God, it's so good.
With that sip, I think it jumped back ahead of the chai milk stout.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's just what it is. You haven't smelt it or tasted it in a while.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, so we got a couple things to talk about. We're going to have a great show.
Hopefully.
We got Ready Player One to talk about. We got Uprising to talk about. And we'll talk about the last two episodes of Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then, of course, our third act.
Oh, you beat me to it.
All right. Ready Player One. And
starring a bunch of nobodies except for TJ Miller, who we never actually see, Simon Pegg, who we didn't see enough.
And then the guy who played, what's his name, who just won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Ty Sheridan?
No. The main guy. Halliday.
Oh, Halliday?
Halliday just won an Oscar.
Yep.
Mark
the
Rylance?
Main bad guy, yep, was in a bunch
Mark
of stuff.
Rylance.
He's in Star Wars.
Yeah, that guy was in
That show on Netflix?
Yes. Yeah. He was Danny on that show. That show was so fucking good. It got canceled. I hate that it got canceled. And then they wound up...
Bloodline.
Yeah. They did wind up finishing it, and it had like one of the worst endings of all time. Ending was so bad, but the show was so good. He was the brother, Danny.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Yep. And he was in Rogue One.
He was in Rogue One. Who, when, why, where? Mark Rylance. What did he win an Oscar
for? Bridge of Spies.
Okay.
But the main kid, he was in a couple of...
Ty Sheridan?
Yeah,
he was in... I fucking hate that kid. He was in the Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, that was him. I liked that movie.
I hated that movie.
I love that movie.
And I hated him in it.
Yeah, I love him in that movie.
You guys did talk about that one.
Yeah, he hated it.
I hated it.
And then the girl, too, was in the...
She was on the show, the Bates Motel show.
Was she?
She was
Olivia Cook?
Yeah, she was the girl that had the disease. I forget what she had. She had the disease and everything
because she is also in that movie.
Dude, a birthmark is not a disease.
No, he's talking about something else.
I know.
That movie where she plays the girl with cancer. What is it
called? The Fault in Our Stars?
No. It's with this boy who has like a, I think he has, a, what was it? It's him, his friend, and then her. They like make movies all the time, like the two boy guy friends. They make movies forever, and then they find out through neighborhood people that the girl has cancer, and his mother makes him go befriend her. And it's about their like friendship slash relationship.
Was it Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl?
Yes, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. Real good movie.
That was her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't just think of that. I looked it up.
Well, you can keep the illusion up.
Nah, that's not right.
All
right,
well, let's talk about... Oh, by the way, Certain was there, so... He might have some input on this too. What did you think of the movie, Threaten?
I enjoyed it.
Chris?
I enjoyed it.
I loved it. No. I enjoyed it and then some. I don't know. I thought it was really good. It wasn't without its faults.
I wish I would have read the book after I watched the movie.
You read it before?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wish I hadn't told my son to read the book. He read the book. I mentioned this on the last podcast that he crammed it all in and 6 days or something and was ready for the movie. I wish we had just gone and seen the movie and then he watched the book the movie and then he read the book because I know the book's always better, but there were just so many story points in the book that were much better than in the movie. A lot of changes that could have been in the movie but weren't. I understand the time restraints.
Yeah,
I mean, if this was three movies, they could have stayed a lot closer to the books. It wasn't. It was one movie. But there were still a few things here and there that they changed that I liked in the book better that they could have kept the same.
There were things... Okay, and on that same note, I know the big one is... let's wait and do spoilers so we can see the time and stuff like that. So let's hold off on spoilers. But there was a character that had a much smaller part in the movie than he did in the book. That change I didn't like.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, and then
when we put a timestamp on this.
Yeah, but then there was another part that I liked even more than the book, was the somebody else went to the thing that yeah.
Let's save that talk to
okay.
If we're gonna do spoilers, yeah. Either let's do it or let's.
But as a whole, you guys both enjoyed it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good movie. Yes. It was entertaining.
Yes. Visual effects were outstanding.
Yeah.
Story was the same. The story, like the main story, is the exact same.
And I knew this was going to happen, but I would have rather seen more of a realistic Oasis rather than a video game Oasis. Because when I read the book, and this isn't a comparison to the book, but it's just that when I read the book visually, I thought it was more of a realistic world that you were
yes.
in. Not like H. When they describe H in the book, I pictured H as a good-looking dude. Not a fucking... monster or whatever he was, orc, or
wasn't H an orc?
I don't know. I pictured him the same way too.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
As a masculine dude, and
yeah, because they would say that. I mean, numerous times he flashed that Cheshire grin.
Yeah.
And I just pictured him as a good looking stud, not
an orc. Yeah.
And I didn't picture any real avatars as monsters. I just designed your own person.
Yeah.
And this was, I mean. Everything was pretty video game world in the Oasis.
Yeah, I thought there were two scenes that come to mind that were what I thought the rest of the movie was going to be like. And when you guys do the spoiler thing, yeah, I'll talk about this. Mm-hmm. There were two like setups that I was like, when I say, even one was they showed in the trailer, and I was like, well, I hope the whole movie is this way, and it wasn't, which didn't take me.
Well, can you say which one they said showed in the trailer?
The trailer was was when the DeLorean is sliding into that you call that park in the cul-de-sac mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
When it's sliding, and I was like, well, this looks real.
Yeah, that didn't look video game-ish. So. But actually, I mean, a lot of the race didn't look video game-ish. I mean,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
But it actually looked pretty damn
good.
Yeah,
it did. It's just all
the race was fucking.
Yeah, all the avatars.
And I know people had a big problem with the race because it was a big difference from the book. And I read a lot about the movie.
I had a big problem with the race.
I did. I thought it was amazing. It was so much fun watching. I thought it was more fun than what happens in the book.
Yeah, it was more fun, but it destroys a lot of the point of the competition. No, nobody thinks that the Easter egg is bullshit because this race keeps happening. Nobody's ever won it. But in the book, you got years of searching for a clue where there's no hint that this is even real. Okay. So, I mean, three to 5 years go by and nobody's even found anything about a clue, a gate, a key, the gate which was left out of the movie, by the way. There were no gates.
Yeah.
And then instead, it's this race that to win the first key.
There's a loophole. Like it's the first person to crack a code, like to find a loophole.
Well, I guess
which essentially
was,
is how which is how an Easter egg works in a video game. But I don't know. It's I definitely hear what you're saying and understand where you're coming from. I thought the race was just so cool.
I didn't think the competitions were enough focus. The competitions were big in the book, mm-hmm. and in this, the competitions didn't seem like that big a deal. There were more of them in the book because you had the gates, the keys, and all that. And then I don't even remember what were the competitions in the movie. Do we want to talk about them? The race, obviously, being the first one. I remember the last one. I can't remember what the second one was. Oh,
yeah.
No,
it was the other thing that Sretton was talking about. All right, let's just jump in. Well, let's talk about what the movie was about real quick. Guy invents this virtual reality world that everybody in the entire planet uses. And
I kind of think that everybody on the entire planet knows what this movie's about.
I had to explain it to my wife yesterday. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So
you have 30 seconds. Ready? Go.
A genius invents a virtual reality world that everybody in the world uses, and jobs are in there, education is in there, all this crazy stuff is
called
in there.
The
anything
Oasis.
You want to do is in there, and he dies. And when he dies, he doesn't have his will says that you have to find three Easter eggs that he puts anywhere in the Oasis. And each Easter egg is a key. If you get all three keys, you go through a door and you get total control over the Oasis. And the entire world is looking for these three keys at first. And then 30.
Yeah. All right. Keep going.
Yeah. And then, I'm at the end anyway. And so
you were kind of scrambling a little bit, trying to beat the clock, find three keys, one Easter egg.
Correct. All right. Yeah.
But I would have messed stuff up if I was trying to scramble.
So that's it. That's basically what the movie's about. And then the movie focuses on a guy named Parzival.
That's his gamer tag.
Name. Yeah. His gamer tag is Parzival and his name is Wade Watts. And it's basically about the adventures he goes through to find the three keys and eventually the Easter egg. The
movie was a chock full of great Easter eggs. I mean, every time when you see the Ninja Turtles, that's an Easter egg right there. Everything you see. When Artemis pulls out the Gears of War Lancer.
That was great.
That's an Easter egg.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie was just full of Easter eggs, which are the pop culture references from the 80s, 90s, today.
Now, let me ask you, are you saying an Easter egg is something that they show you that they don't outright say what it is? Like that you have to notice, like, oh my God, like the Firefly. Like, was that an Easter egg?
Yeah, kind of. I mean just like in Iron Man, I believe it was Iron Man 1, when Agent Coulson picks up that frisbee looking disc that has the star and the red, white, and blue on it. He says, do you know what this is? And he's like, hand me that. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They called that an Easter egg towards Captain America.
Okay. See, I've always thought an Easter egg was something you had to hunt for. Like the in like a video game or something like that. I've never heard like.
Yeah, but it could be easy. It could be easy or something like as much as like, hey, did you see that like Thor hammer on that dude's socks, or like it could be obvious, like the shield thing.
Oh, right.
And it's not necessarily
like that was an obvious Captain America nod, but it's still an Easter egg.
Okay. Like in that movie, if you like a couple,
I would just
the
call
battle
those
scenes,
references,
like the
that, yeah,
like but. The Ninja Turtles thing that was in your face. Whereas if you freeze framed it and watch in the background, you could probably see like
100 you know, other characters yeah. that you didn't catch because yeah, yeah. you were focused on the Ninja Turtles yeah. in that
okay.
part.
All right.
No, same see, with, like, did that... you notice his Thundercats belt buckle
yes.
and
yeah.
the, you know, his shooter
see,
and all that?
That's
Greatest Easter... American Hero on,
an,
it, on the side
that's
of his...
That's an Easter egg?
Yeah, for yeah. the movie like this, yeah.
Yes, those are all Easter eggs. Thundercats belt buckle. The greatest,
everything you notice.
Greatest American Hero emblem on the side of his goggles.
Okay. All right. Take your word for it. I'm not going to argue that because I don't know that's wrong. Because I have heard the term used in movies, but I always thought it was like Chucky being in there. You know, like I didn't think that, like, would that qualify as an Easter
see,
egg?
That's flat out. I mean,
yeah, maybe not. That's a good point.
Didn't he say something like,
fucking
this is
Chucky?
Fucking Chucky.
He had a British accent. He's like, fucking Chucky.
Yeah. So, I mean, you flat out shouted out. I wouldn't say that was an Easter egg. That was in your face.
That was the only F-bomb in the movie, by the way. Movie's PG-13.
Right. It was a good spot for it.
Yeah, it was. Chucky going around killing people with a knife. Just going from person to person.
That part was great.
It was great.
Movie was pretty action-packed.
Oh, nonstop. It was great. There was a couple scenes, I think, like Parzival and Artemis scenes that were kind of, not hokey, just building their love story. All right, do you guys want to go into spoilers now?
Yeah.
Now that everybody knows.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of touch on that it was action-packed, great visual effects, kind of round up the review before we get into the spoilers. I think that if you haven't read the book, you're going to be blown away with this movie.
Yeah.
But I think if you read the book, you're going to nitpick it a little bit.
I will say that, and I'm not talking about your son, because I know your son didn't like the movie because...
He was also like... 2 days from having finished the book.
Right. But
that's
he's pretty fresh. But he's also 12, 13?
Gonna be 13 this weekend.
Okay, so he's 13. He's still too young to be objective.
Yeah.
So
he finishes the book. He wants to see the movie that is a exact replica of the book
right,
on screen.
Right, and I understand that. But mm-hmm. people, you know, in their 20s, 30s, things like that, I've always said this.
What about 40s?
Yeah.
People like 18 and over, 19 and over, whatever. Not liking a movie because it's not like the book is like the worst reason to not like a movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that is the most pedantic thing ever. Like, if you don't like the movie because the movie sucks, like, what was the one with Idris Elba that we just talked about? We talked
Dark
about
Tower.
The Dark Tower.
Yeah, that movie sucked.
That wasn't anything like the book. That's not why the movie was bad.
Yeah, I didn't read the book.
The movie
I thought the movie sucked.
The movie was bad because it was fucking bad. It was just fucking bad. Like, just bad. I liked it the first time I watched it because I was super excited about it. And after I thought about it, I'm like, God, that movie was terrible. And then I watched it again and couldn't even finish it. It was just so bad.
My brother Brian, who has been on the show before talking about Three Billboards. He was the only one of our group that didn't read the book that went with us to see the movie.
He told me he loved it.
And he loved the movie.
Yeah.
So... I mean, that's
what I'm saying is you'll have people, and I'm thinking of one person in particular. I'm not going to say her name, but she's a very avid book reader, and she always wants to read the books before she sees the movie.
I don't know
this person,
do I?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay, I know who you're talking about.
She always wants to read the books before she sees the TV show or the movie, and I'm like, why? Is it just so you can compare it and say it's not as good? Because everything isn't as good as a book.
Yeah,
like I racked my brain. I've seen so many books that are in movies. Sometimes I'll find out a TV show or a movie is coming out, and I read the book just because, and not to compare it, just because sometimes because I'm so anxious, I want to know the story. And I think Gone Girl is the only time I've ever read a book. And the book was significantly worse. Not even significantly. It was just worse than the movie. The movie, Gone Girl movie, the one with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike, was really good. I loved it. It was great. Great story. That book is fucking trash. I wouldn't wipe my ass with that book if I was stuck in the woods. It was so bad.
Hey, I'm looking at something on IMDb here. Box office opening weekend, $41,764,000. Is that good?
$41 million for Ready Player One?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think that's good?
No.
Worldwide, $181 million.
That's good.
It's going to do great worldwide. It's probably going to do pretty good here, but It's just a fun movie.
That says opening weekend.
Fun.
Yeah, that's
gross so far is 53.
Opening weekend used to mean Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now it means Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I'm interested to see what Black Panther did this weekend.
Probably is it still number one? Isn't it the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide?
Mm-mm.
Didn't it?
Just highest Marvel. It just passed up Avengers last week, but
okay.
Not...
I thought it was. I thought I heard something wrong. Else about it.
My question, and I might get called a racist for this. Who knows?
You are.
We've already established.
Why
that.
Why isn't The Chi the most watched TV show right now? It's an all black cast.
Because you have to pay $10 to $15 a month, depending on your cable provider for Shelter.
You got to pay $10 to $15 to go see Black Panther.
It's true.
I mean, I work with a guy who's gone and seen it like 7 times.
Is he gone and seen it 7 times because he's black or is it because he liked the movie?
Well, he loves the movie.
Okay. Well, then I've been good for him. I don't know.
He happens to be African-American.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Asked me if people weren't going to see this movie because it was an all-black cast, this would not be the number one Marvel movie ever.
Because it isn't the best Marvel movie.
It's not even close.
Right.
Well, you think people 11. Are going to see it because...
It's an all-black cast.
There's not that many black people. They're not going to watch it 20 times. I totally disagree with you.
I just said somebody I know that went and saw it 7 times.
Yeah, but not everybody's seen it 7 times. But everybody's seen it. Like, everybody's seen that movie.
Yeah, it's true.
Everybody has gone to see it.
I don't know too many people.
I think maybe they distracted with that whole all-black cast for the first or second week, but yeah. People are just going to see it.
There are...
I seriously know people who don't go to see movies who win Black Panther.
There are teenagers that are not into Marvel movies at all that are going to see this movie. And it's because of the all-black cast.
Hmm. Okay.
Well,
I just think it has good... Like, it was okay. It was a good movie. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't as good as Ragnarok. It wasn't as good as Homecoming.
And it wasn't as good as at least 10 other Marvel movies. Yeah,
this movie blew those other movies out of the water, and it still is.
Well, maybe, I mean, that's open to interpretation. Maybe
Buzz.
People did like those.
I think Buzz.
Or liked Black Panther more.
I think the number one reason is Buzz. I really do. Yeah, I don't know that the all-black cast might help, but I think Buzz. People, the buzz about it being an all-black cast is, and you know what, and I don't have a problem with that.
Now, you said there's not that many black people in the country to make it number one. Okay, but when you've got the Avengers does $100 million in the opening weekend, now you throw in addition, every African-American that hasn't gone and seen the Avengers or whatever... Now they go see this one on top of everybody like you and me that have seen every Marvel movie. That just adds to it. Because if you've seen every Marvel movie, you're going to go see Black Panther.
Right.
Whether it's an all-black cast or an all-white cast. I didn't care. It didn't even occur to me that it was an all-black cast. But, I mean, I scroll through Facebook and people I went to high school with that have never commented on a Marvel movie ever or a movie ever, all of a sudden, every other post is about Black Panther.
Yeah, I think maybe there is that there's a dialogue now about the movie because of those first couple weeks, because somebody decided to make it an issue. But I think I know where your issue is coming from.
Well, I think The Chi is a better TV show than Black Panther was a movie. And I don't think The Chi gets the love that it deserves. And it's an all-black cast.
We'll talk about
I think your problem is that it's making a bunch of money. You didn't like it that much. So you're trying to...
No, my problem is that there's plenty of stuff out there filled with black people that is better than this. Go watch that stuff. It's great. The Chi is a freaking great show, and we'll get into that
next week.
Yeah, next podcast.
Chi deserves all the Emmys.
Detroit.
All the Oscars.
Not a single Oscar nomination, and it was so much better than Black Panther. It was so much better than Shape of Water. No love from the Oscars, and nobody went and saw it.
Nope.
I mean, there's a movie, and it's relevant to the struggles.
I went to Amazon Prime real quick.
What's that?
Detroit.
I mean, yeah. That is a movie that's relevant to the struggles of today.
Was on the airplane the way back from Amsterdam.
Did you watch it?
No, I watched Ragnarok on the way there, and on the way back I watched... Oh, Call Me By Your Name.
There's also... Outside of all that, Black Panther was... I didn't talk with you guys about Black Panther because I didn't see it at the time.
But you have seen it now.
I have seen it. it is an easy movie to watch. So when you want to go see something, Detroit is difficult to watch. Yeah, Shy. Right.
So is the Shy, dude. So is the fucking Shy, dude. It's a hard one to watch.
I mean, ask how many people, you guys have said it multiple times that Three Billboards might be the perfect movie. Like, Chris, you say that you think it might be the perfect movie.
Oh, well, I said that.
Oh, I said
sorry.
But he didn't disagree.
Yeah, I didn't disagree.
I just saw that, too, and it was... It's difficult. It throws stuff in your face. It's nuts. And it toes a line between, oh man, life is hard and it's all about tragedy. And also somehow people can still be connected and forgiveness. And Black Panther is
begets.
It's most like have a lot of it is bright colors. A lot of it's beautiful graphics. A lot of it's cool costumes and fighting and explosions and the hero. You know, beats all the odds and heart and all that stuff. And it's just
all that stuff you just mentioned is also Ready Player One. I mean, if you guys like Black Panther, go see Ready Player One.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the same fun movies. I mean, bright lights, big city, whatever.
And just to throw this out there. King Kong. Just to throw this out there. Who hasn't got shit on me, by the way.
Oh, gosh. What are the worst movie lines of all time?
It is, and I just wanted to throw that.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
Oh, just throwing that dad joke out there like a fucking, just a lob from left field into, anyway.
like a lob of the holy hand grenade. 1, 2, 5.
No, 3. No, 4. No,
5. 3. 3, sir.
Yeah, back to Ready Player One. Also very relevant. Like, bear with me on this. Nobody's invented a worldwide utopia of virtual reality. But the corporation takeover shit, dude. Like, that's coming, man. And I'm not being conspiracy theory. Like, with the direction our country is, like, ever since the ruling in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, where corporations have the same rights as people. Like, yeah, like, that fucking... corporation control shit, it's fucking coming in this country if somebody doesn't put a fucking stop to it. And I think
they already control everything. They were, I mean, yeah, in the movie, they were trying to control. Let's make a dumbed down comparison. They were trying to privatize Facebook, charge a membership fee to Facebook, post advertising all over Facebook. But it wasn't Facebook, it was the Oasis.
Right.
I mean, kind of the same thing.
No, it is. And I don't know, I see like the future of this country scares me. And yeah, so.
I mean, the difference, which they really didn't touch on in the movie, but like in the book, you wanted to go to school, you had to be part of the Oasis.
Yeah.
School was in the Oasis. Yep. They didn't talk about that in the movie.
Yeah, Ludus wasn't there.
There was something that mentioned Ludus. Maybe when it was a map of the solar system or something, and it said Ludus.
Okay.
Because my son pointed it out to me. He hit me. He's like, Ludus.
Okay. All right. Let's get off this Black Panther shit. Oh, real quick. You mentioned the Shy.
Mm-hmm.
Lena Waithe. I think her last name is Waithe. Is the head showrunner, creator, and she's written a few episodes. She's directed a few episodes of the Shy. She was H. The human H.
Right, that's what you said.
The black girl with the dreadlocks. That's H. Or that's Lena Waithe. She has a weird last name. But she is...
W-A-I-T-H-E. I would say Waithe.
Okay. So Lena Waithe is the head showrunner of The Shy. She controls that whole show. And it's her first... It's not her first show that she's done. She did that Master of None with Aziz Ansari. And she just won an Emmy for best writer, maybe? Or... best writer of a comedy series or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she writes comedy and she acts in that show too. Isn't she in Master of None?
I don't know.
Okay. So, and now she's doing The Shy, which like I said, we've said it already. We'll get to The Shy next week. We're going to cover the whole season. The Shy. If you haven't watched The Shy, fucking binge it before our next episode. So you guys can be with us when we talk about it.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Fucking phenomenal show.
We talked about it.
After the
first
episode.
Once or twice, yeah.
I think after the first episode, and then we kind of shied away from it. But
I mean, I never stopped watching it.
Oh, no.
Even though we weren't talking about it, doesn't mean we weren't watching it.
I am doing a dad joke count, Vince. You're at 2.
Okay.
Have I gotten any of this?
No.
How many do I have?
Well, you start the show off every time with one that's open to interpretation.
The hopefully?
We have a good show, hopefully.
Oh.
It's not really a joke, but...
It's now it's routine.
Yeah, it is. It started off as
all right,
like sincere. We have a great show, hopefully.
Spoilers in 3, 2, 1. Sorry. All right. Ready Player One spoilers.
Biggest gripe on the movie, Ogden Morrow was not a hero in this movie. He was in the book. Ogden Morrow, played by Simon Pegg.
Water. Sorry.
Oh, almost got you in the face. But Ogden Morrow, played by Simon Pegg, was a huge part of the book. He was one of the heroes of the book. In the movie, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint from the movie, because he was so important in the book.
Mine too. No, that's something that me and Chris didn't like that was changed in the book. Here's something I did like that was changed from the book.
Artemis.
Parzival. Okay. Well, yeah. Same story I was going. Artemis goes to the...
Loyalty Center?
Let's call it what a fucking is. A concentration camp. A corporate concentration camp. The same one that Parzival goes to...
In the book.
In the book. And so she went instead of him. I thought it made the story flow so much better. If it was written that way in the book, I feel like it would have made the story flow so much better. I liked that idea, and I wonder if that Ernest Cline had a part in writing this movie, the screenplay.
Yeah,
I
thought Parzival was more of the hero, I guess, in all aspects of the book.
Yeah,
and they spread it out a little bit in the movie.
I dig that. Also, I wonder if that came from Ernest Cline, like him maybe
who knows
thinking, you know what, let's do this, because he did have a hand in writing this movie. All right. You wanted to talk about something after we got the spoilers. Another scene.
Oh, I thought the part where they enter The Shining was amazing.
Shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to say Shining.
Shining.
We don't have the rights.
Why?
You never seen the episode of The Simpsons?
No,
it's one of the best episodes of The Simpsons.
How long ago was it?
Oh, it was like one of the first Halloween episodes.
Really? I don't
remember. Where what's his name? Groundskeeper Willie goes...
All work and no play makes Homer something.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He goes, it's just like The Shining. And she goes, and Lisa goes, don't you meet the shit? And he puts his finger in front of me. We don't have the rights for that.
Well, Spielberg did.
Yeah.
And that was a great scene, which I don't believe there was anything about The Shining in the book. Not a single
thing. It wasn't even mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was mentioned.
And there was a big scene about The Shining.
It was great.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it was probably the biggest movie reference out of the whole thing. I mean, a focus on one thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
One movie.
It was like 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big thing. Yeah. It was the second, since we're already doing spoilers, it was the second key.
It was almost as if we were doing the walkthrough of War Games
or Monty Python. Yeah. Right. It wasn't a walkthrough. But it was a really big...
It was like you were trapped in the movie.
Yes, they were. And actually, it was the funniest part of the movie, probably.
With H?
Well, no. All the IOI guys screaming.
Oh,
because
yeah.
They were all stuck in the movie The Shining.
That was good.
That was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
That and the Chucky were the parts I laughed out loud the most.
I thought you meant H being so afraid of the
That was
Shining.
Fucking funny, too.
Yeah, it was.
Especially with the naked chickens out of the bathtub.
I'm going to go with it.
Yeah. He's like, all right. Oh, yes, I'll just go with it. That was good. No. So what Sretton is talking about is...
The realism.
It was actually clips from the movie. I believe so. Like, it wasn't that the twins?
I was guessing that they used lookalikes, but I don't know.
They might have. I don't know.
It looked like everything in them. I mean, other than when the old lady like starts melting, that was a little more intense, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
Woman that in the bathtub, wasn't that the same
that
woman?
Was the same woman.
What? Yeah. Are you sure?
Yes.
I'm like 90% sure. I'm not positive.
It's easy. Really? It's easy to
and
do
the
that.
Same little girls.
Yeah. It's easy to do same, that with a green screen.
Yeah. It was as soon as they walked in, I think we also had the same reaction. When they walked into that space, that open hallway, whatever you call it, like the entryway of the cabin of the ski lodge, we all kind of had the same reaction. It was like, oh, because that's sort of, I believe that that's what all of us that read the book were was hoping that when you were in the Oasis, that it felt like that.
Yes.
Like there might be some computery stuff, but it was like this.
Yeah.
So when you saw any of those Easter eggs or any of like we were thinking if they were going to show War Games or Monty Python that it was going to be like that, or the Back to the Future stuff, or any of it.
Yeah.
And
all right, all I'm seeing here in the cast is pretty naked girl body double.
Right, right. So that, okay, let me explain it to you. Every time they showed H and the pretty naked girl in front of him, you saw the long blonde hair in her back. That's who that is. Every time they showed H or the naked girl with H's back, it was the actual scene from the movie, The Shining.
It may have been.
All right. So, no Pac-Man, no perfect game of Pac-Man.
There was a Pac-Man sit-down arcade game in the movie.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the important thing, the him playing the perfect game of Pac-Man.
Yeah, I didn't like the way he got the quarter.
I mean, I guess you could have made that a really quick scene of him playing the perfect game, but I think they did it it was a time thing.
Well, they didn't do the gates.
Yeah.
With the keys.
Right.
So it kind of wouldn't make sense for him to be playing the game thinking it was a clue to a gate or something like that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see this as three movies.
Each movie being a key.
Yeah. The copper key, the jade key, and the crystal key.
Yeah.
I would have loved I think they could have stayed a lot closer to the book. And because the book's always better in the movie, you can't go wrong staying close to the book.
True. Like I said, we all, the people in this room, by we all.
You know, let me just say also that another reason I wish this was three movies is because in a year and a half from now, I'd be looking forward to another one.
Yeah.
Which I'm not now. I don't.
Well, you can look forward to Armada, which is currently in pre-production.
And I'll read the book after we go see the movie.
It's Will Wheaton, dude.
Actually, I'll have Will Wheaton read it to me.
Yeah. Oh, no mention of Will Wheaton as president in the fucking movie. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah, there wasn't.
I was kind of disappointed because in the book, Will Wheaton. Who is Crusher, Ensign Crusher on Star Trek. And he was actually the main character of Stand By Me, which I didn't know that until recently.
Are you serious?
I didn't know that. No, I've always known him as Ensign Crusher from Star Trek Next Generation because he's
You didn't know that
older.
Was Gordy?
Is that who it was?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that. And here's the thing. I've seen that movie.
Gordy LaChance?
I could name the other three kids. I almost said Joaquin Phoenix. It was River Phoenix, Chris O'Donnell. Something. No, not Chris O'Donnell. Oh. Not Chris O'Donnell. The one from Sliders.
Yeah. Wait, no, not Chris O'Donnell.
Jerry O'Connell.
And then...
I thought you were saying River Phoenix's name in the movie, his character name.
No.
Because his name was Chris.
Was it? Oh, right.
Yeah.
No. River Phoenix, Jerry O'Connell, and wasn't it Corey Feldman?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, for some reason, Will Wheaton... Oh, I guess, like,
what was Corey Feldman's name in the movie?
It's been forever. It was Kiefer Sutherland. That was his name in the movie, Kiefer Sutherland.
No, Kiefer Sutherland was Ace.
But I actually, Chris...
Wasn't Ace?
I don't remember.
I think Kiefer Sutherland was Ace.
I'm glad it was only one movie.
Really? Yeah. Why?
Because the book is not that long. It's a short
book. It's not. It's a short
book. The biggest draw of... It's a very simple story, and they did change it quite a bit, but it's pretty much just as the same. And it's just a pop culture overload with all those Easter eggs. And there's too many movies that they or stories and stuff that they stretch out to multiple movies. And this is me personally. I'm glad it was only one. I got everything. When it comes out on DVD, I'm going to watch it a bunch more times.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my problem with what you said. You said it's a very short book. Yeah, it is. And you said it's a very simple story. I don't think it's a very simple story at all. I think it's a very complicated and drawn-out story that lasts, like, 8 years in the book. And it seems like it takes place in about 3 or 4 days in the movie.
We all really enjoyed the movie.
yeah, we did.
And real quick, I would just like to monologue here for a couple seconds.
Are you going to do Drexel Spivey from True Romance?
No. I'm going to just do it like...
Do you need me to put in Oh Beautiful for Spacious Skies?
No, it's just... Okay, I was thinking about it after me and Chris talked about it.
Are you going to say Grace? Sretton, you want to take a knee?
Done.
Did you watch Roseanne?
I did not. Not
oh,
yet.
Oh, so you didn't
not
even yet. Get that joke.
No. Okay, so here it is. It's... My monologue here is about book versus movie. Anytime you take a book or a movie, you're taking a trip somewhere. And you're going into the writer's mind to envision what they want you to envision. They want you to see what they see. They want you to feel how they feel when they're writing this movie or writing this book. And so taking this trip, a book will always be the business class of an airplane on your trip from, say, Chicago to San Diego. That's your movie and your book. Your business class, where you get to lay down in the long chair, in the long seat or the big leather seat, and get champagne, mimosas, and a meal and a blanket, and you usually get the nicer flight attendant. That's your book, okay? That's your book. You're taking the trip in the most luxurious way possible. Now, your movie is usually going to be Coach. Now, you still start off in Chicago, and you still land in San Diego, in whether you take the business class or Coach. But how you get there sometimes is different. And the book will always be better than the movie.
Yeah, but if I was Ogden Morrow, I'd be fucking pissed off that I got ripped off of being a fucking hero.
Yeah, I agree. But my point is, not liking a movie, and I'm not talking about anybody in this room. I'm talking about people that were bitching about this movie before it even fucking came out. Not liking a movie because it's not exactly like the book is the worst reason to not like a movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's it. That's my little soliloquy.
And I like the movie, but I am going to pointed out the things that I liked in the book better than the movie, and things that I thought that they changed that they shouldn't have changed, but overall the movie was really good.
Oh, my biggest thing in the movie that I fucking loved was the Firefly. Well, because we didn't think it was going to be in there.
No, we didn't.
We even said that on the podcast, I think, that they weren't going to do space travel, which they didn't.
Oh, there was one thing that you said a lot last night and you didn't mention today on the show.
What's that?
No Rush music.
No Geddy Lee, dude. No. There was a Rush poster in his bedroom.
I was looking for posters, and I was surprised. I don't think we had a single War Games reference throughout the entire movie. We had some Monty Python.
There's a War Games TV show coming out, so I wonder if there's a copyright chick.
Maybe.
All right, we ready to move on? We got another movie and a TV show.
Yeah, we don't have much time left.
Okay, pause it for 1 second.
Bloop, bloop.
All right, we're back, and we're moving on to Pacific Rim Uprising.
I thought it was UP Rising, kind of like the Chevy UP Lander.
This is why Sretton can't get out of here on time. Come on, man.
That's your first one.
This is why Sretton can't fucking get out of here on time.
So, dad Jesus. Joke count, 2-1. 2-1.
I got to get another one, and let's go.
All right. Pacific Rim Uprising, starring John Boyega and Scott Eastwood. I think that's it. Like, I think there was a couple people from the first one in there, his sister. That she was in the first one. Really quick.
There was that one dude that I said during the movie that I saw on the Nickelodeon show or Disney show.
Yeah.
Jesse.
I didn't know. I haven't watched a Disney show since my kid was
Charlie
like
Day, dude.
Oh, yeah. And the other guy, the British guy from the first. Yeah, I said a couple people from the first movie. Yeah, Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny, who was in the first one. So,
dude, that other guy that you're talking about, his first name is Byrne. B-U-R-N.
What's his last name?
Gorman.
Yeah, that he was in he was a main character on Turn, the Washington Spies show on AMC, and he was on he was Owen on Torchwood. All right, really quick, we don't have to go into a lot heavy detail on this one. I fucking loved this movie so fucking much.
Let's just say, if you liked the first Pacific Rim, you're going to love this one.
I thought this movie was better.
If you watched the first one and was like, that movie was garbage, which a lot of people thought.
It was Guillermo del Toro. Nobody thought that it was garbage.
Oh, it got terrible reviews.
Yeah.
People hated it.
Yeah, but critics hate a lot of things that people...
Okay, but you just said nobody thought it was garbage.
Critics aren't people. They're assholes.
My brother Brian's a person, and he said that movie was terrible. He said it was unwatchable, and I said, you're an idiot.
I think if you go to watch a movie about giant mechanical robots and monsters that crawl out of the core of the Earth from another dimension, and you're like, I just didn't find it realistic, well then, you're an asshole.
Listen, so Guillermo del Toro grew up watching Godzilla movies and big monster movies, and this was that's why they're called kaijus, dude. Like, because they're big Japanese monsters. Like, Guillermo del Toro wrote the story of Pacific Rim, and he did the first one. I don't think he had anything to do with the second one. But that's where the story comes from. And dude, this movie, the action and the CGI and how cool this fucking movie was, just fucking blew me away today. I fucking loved it. It just, if you want to go
opening
out,
weekend, $28 million.
That's bad. That's really fucking bad because they left it open for a third movie. Like, well, they didn't leave it open.
Yeah, but I'm kind of pumped about the third movie.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They left it open. They didn't just leave it open for a third movie. They pretty much said, we're making another movie at the end of this one. And I feel like that's not good enough for them to...
It'll do okay.
What was the budget for the movie? Oh, yeah, dude, these movies fucking... That first one killed in China and Japan.
$150 million.
That was the budget?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll make that back as soon as it hits China, dude. When it hit
opening weekend in China, $22 million.
Yeah. So when it goes,
what do you mean? Yeah.
Well, I'm saying like when it goes world. Yeah, opening weekend. It just opened.
You said as soon as it hits China, it already had its opening weekend in China. $22 million.
It just came out last week.
Not to bring it back to the topic that you guys dragged out earlier with the Black Panther, but did you know that the only country that Black Panther is not killing is China because they are racist there? Like,
hey, I went and saw Black Panther. It was a good movie.
It's the only. Well, I'm saying. There might be, because the main character, the main character in UP Rising is, is what's his face? John Boyega?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yeah. John Boyega.
So it might have a little trouble in China.
Yeah.
Get your shit together, China.
John Boyega's awesome. For the first half hour of this movie, I'm like, God, that guy looks a lot like, Finn from Star Wars.
Except for the mustache.
Yeah, right.
And Chris takes all black dudes look alike. Another hint to his fucking racism. Can we title this episode Chris the Racist?
Fuck you. Wait a minute. I thought John Boyega looked like John Boyega, so that means I think all black people look alike?
He is
John Boyega.
I have a story in it. I'll try to do it super fast. I didn't know that the woman that plays Michonne on Walking Dead was the main badass in Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And I saw her on TV advertising for Black Panther, but I also don't know what the girl that played Black Panther's girlfriend that won the Academy Award,
Lupita Nyong'o. Yeah.
I don't know anything about her. I missed it when she won the Academy Award, so I have no idea what she looks like. I didn't see that. So I had no idea what she looks like.
Dude,
so
she's so gorgeous.
When
dude.
I saw the girl from... Yeah, she is. When I saw the girl from... when I saw Michonne on like the David Letterman or something, mm-hmm. I was like, that looks like Michonne. And my girlfriend, somebody was telling me, like, wasn't even watching the show, was like, that's Lupita, you're being a racist. And I was like, am I being racist? Because I think the death woman looks like the girl from Walking Dead. So I felt really guilty and I felt really bad. And then when I did watch the movie, I was like, hell no.
Right. It was her.
It was her. So
yeah. You're the racist.
So I'm cool, but Chris is still racist.
Oh, thanks. Because I thought John Boyega was John Boyega.
But yeah,
I'm cool, but Chris is still a racist.
You know what?
So he was really good.
Maybe I am because I really hate white people.
Yeah. That's
right. Dude, fucking white people are the worst, dude.
Hey, you can't say that. You ain't white.
That's true. I'm not white. I am not Caucasian.
So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you guys off topic. So John Boyega was good. His mustache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. You know what this movie was missing?
Today. We cancel the apocalypse.
How was that for Idris Elba?
It's probably not going to show up that well. I think you were a little too far away from the mic.
I think it'll be good. No, it'll be good. It was good.
Maybe it will be.
He's afraid I'm going to do it again. No, which I'm not. Which I'm not.
Do it again.
No.
Today we cancel the apocalypse.
See, that's going to sound better.
Okay.
Okay, so when I thought John Boyega looked like John Boyega,
yeah.
Detroit and Pacific Rim upright UP Rising. He looks like such a tough guy, like a badass.
No.
He doesn't look like a badass as Finn in Star Wars. He kind of is at times, but he doesn't look like it.
And he said it to me in the theater, which is funny because there was like me and Chris and then like
six other people.
A mom and like her three kids watching this movie. And he said this to me and I go, dude, Finn is a badass, dude. Like he never runs from a fight, like ever.
Like, I said, right. But he doesn't look
that's
tough.
True. Yeah, he does. He kind of looks like a geek.
But in this movie, in Detroit, he looks like a tough dude.
Yeah, he does. Actually, which reminds me, I'm on his next homework assignment. Not today, obviously, because I have one picked out. But his next one's going to be John Boyega's first movie. Don't look it up. All right. So, Speaking of that loud slam you guys just heard, that's Chris putting down our new beer. What is that?
This is a blueberry maple stout.
It's not very good.
No?
No.
Saugatuck Brewing Company.
Oh, same people that do your Neapolitan stout.
That's all I see about it. All
right. So basically, I actually, with my movie pass, where I don't have to pay, I just pay my monthly fee.
Yeah, that's a point we didn't say. We both use our movie pass
for the first time. Super
good
easy.
Good thing my wife doesn't listen to the show, because I was supposed to be working on my flooring today and I skipped out and went to the movie while she was at work.
I'm a bad influence. He didn't even want to do this, and I was like, dude, come on, we got a second. See if our movie passes work. By the way, movie pass worked really well. Make sure you have your GPS turned on your phone. Otherwise,
you mean?
Yeah, you can't check in.
Is that the problem? Yes. You didn't have your location turned on. Yes.
I figured it out. You have to check into the movie theater when you're in like 100 feet of the movie theater. You have to check in order to.
It's so you can't like give somebody your card or something, right, and then check in and they get a free ticket.
Right.
Now, if you go drop somebody off at the movies, you can sure as hell get their ticket for them.
But anyway, MoviePass worked like a charm today. We saw it for free. Well, our monthly,
$7 a month for it.
Yeah.
What is it?
MoviePass.
How much?
Okay. It's
about $100. He pays monthly, and he pays, what, $7.95 a month?
Yeah.
And I pay for the year, which was about $120 for the year.
Yeah.
And or maybe it was $110. I don't know. Something about
Dirt cheap.
But you can see one movie a day for free.
Yes.
And
you can see 365 movies a year for.
It doesn't pay for IMAX, D-Box, or GDX. It has to be regular a standard showings. Screen.
That still sounds good.
Oh, I paid for the whole month of April today, seeing this one movie.
Yeah, right.
Every movie I see for the rest of the month will be free.
Mm-hmm. And it'll probably be four movies a year that we say, you know what, we're going to see this on the IMAX instead.
Three or four
a year.
Yeah.
Next one coming out, what, April 27th?
Yeah. Infinity Wars. The Xfinity Wars. Yeah, Comcast versus Warner.
Comcast and DirecTV.
Yeah. Somebody get that cable company a shield. All right, anyway.
Does that count as a dad joke?
No.
What I just did or what you just did?
What you did.
Oh, I don't know.
That was pretty bad.
What do you mean,
did? Yeah, let's just do it. That's 3-2.
Well, you went Comcast versus
DirecTV?
Yeah,
but they couldn't see me hitting my fists together.
All right, fine. All right.
They couldn't see me fisting myself.
All right. So.
Not a dad joke, just a bad joke.
Pacific Rim.
Disgusting joke.
Pacific Rim Uprising was fucking fantastic. Go see it. Just go see it. Give this movie all the money you can. All
right, and I say that's a big exaggeration.
I fucking loved it.
I say it was fun action. It was exciting. It was a fun movie. Might have been kind of a dumb movie, but it was exciting.
I loved it.
Better than the first one?
I think so.
It's been a while since I've seen the first one. Whenever they'd mentioned something from the first one, I didn't remember it.
Well, just think of this. Jax Teller was in the first one.
Yeah, so. Charlie Hunnam. So it had
sex appeal.
Had a great actor.
Yeah, it had sex appeal.
And then it had Idris Elba.
But. Oh, that dog. Guy looks like a fucking guy, looks like got hit by a bus.
Him doll.
Oh, do you hear Tom Hardy got cast as a 007?
That's bullshit.
It is. I wanted Idris Elba or
I wanted
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. Tom Hiddleston.
But either one would have been better than Tom Hardy. And I love Tom Hardy, but I don't know how I feel about him being James Bond.
Is he gonna talk in a stupid voice?
James Bond. I'm James Bond. I was born in chaos. All
right. Green Room.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? We're going to talk about Walking Dead a little bit.
We're going to push that a week.
Yeah. Walking Dead, nothing's really happening.
Last two episodes were fucking trash. All right.
Green Room, which we had a pretty good conversation about that you guys never got to hear.
Yeah, we did with Scott. Scott was here, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Green Room, Anton Yelchin, the middle brother from fucking Peaky Blinders and Patrick Stewart. What'd you think, Chris?
I thought it was a great movie. Not really. I mean, there's movies you watch like Three Billboards. This isn't a Three Billboards movie.
No.
But it is a suspenseful movie. It's an action-packed movie.
And I thought the acting was really good. Oh, also, yeah. Imogen Poots Imogen Poots was the blonde girl. And Maybe was also in it, too.
Yeah, Maybe. Maybe was in it.
No, she definitely was.
Yeah, she was.
Definitely Maybe?
Definitely Maybe. Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isla Fisher?
I don't know.
Ryan Reynolds, Isla Fisher? And the girl, Breslin.
Abigail?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, in Definitely Maybe.
Yeah. Definitely not in in Green Room.
You guys are on fire.
Oh, dude, my gosh.
Right.
Yeah, so Green Room is about a punk band.
Thrash punk.
Thrash punk band that gets set up with this gig so they can make a few dollars, and they go play this gig at a white supremacist rally.
Which they don't know until they get there.
Right, they don't know that's what it is until they get there. A bunch of skinheads, neo-Nazis. They play a good set. They even rip on the skinheads. Fuck you, Nazi. Nazi, what did they say?
I forget the song, but it was a Black Flag cover.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
But and then they see somebody had gotten murdered. They witness this. And Patrick Stewart and all his boys come and trap them in this room and try to kill him.
Patrick Stewart's the head neo-Nazi, which is fucking crazy. Sir Patrick Stewart, the fucking knight, is the fucking head neo-Nazi.
So the movie is about them trying to survive the night and escape, basically.
I thought the movie was realistic. I thought the movie, like the plot of them trying to make sure that they get killed on the land, like, so to make it look like... Because they could have just went into that room at any time and just started shooting.
Oh, yeah. But they wanted to make it look like they were trespassing and the dogs got them.
Yes. And that was very important. And I thought that, like, them trying to make it look like the band was somehow committing a crime against them so they can get away with killing this entire fucking band, like, legally, was so important to the story. And, like, it made it so realistic. Because they were like, I even think at one point somebody goes, dude, let's just go in there and fucking just... Let's get them, you know, and Patrick Stewart's like, no, we need to do this right. And so
what was your biggest shocker from this movie? Seeing Patrick Stewart
drop N-bombs?
Wait, what do you mean?
N-bomb. That
I don't know what that is.
you don't know what an N-bomb is?
No, what is that?
It's a word. It's a word that white people can't say. Are you fucking kidding me?
My silence communicates my uncomfortability with what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so he's trying to paint me at the rate as the races after he's been.
I'm right. Trying to deflect.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Mexican.
You sounded like Prince there. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys, motherfucking girl,
dearly beloved. Oh, Stratton's like, I wish these fucking assholes would shut the fuck up so I can go home. All right. So,
Who do you think was the hero from this movie, Green Room?
The hero? I really liked the tough guy in the band. I think he was the drummer.
Putting the dude in the armbar.
Yeah, and that dude was fucking like three times that guy's size. That guy was fucking huge.
For me, the hero of the movie was the blonde chick that wasn't even part of the band.
Imogen Poots. Great actress.
Is that who that was?
Yeah. She was in an awesome movie called Centurion with Michael Fassbender.
But yeah, I thought she was the hero of this movie.
She was good. She shot somebody. She killed somebody. And yeah, like, but the movie was really good. Green Room. If you haven't seen Green Room.
Oh, she was in 28 Weeks Later, too. Need for Speed?
Oh, she was a little girl in 28 Weeks Later. She was one of the two kids. Did you see 28 Weeks Later?
Yeah.
She was one of the two kids. Mm-hmm. There was only two kids in the whole fucking movie. She was the girl. The one who was immune. She had the two different color eyes. This movie was is a solid thriller, all the way around. Just really good movie. You asked me what the most shocking part was. Definitely when Anton Yelchin got his arm stuck in the door.
That was disturbing.
Because he's
got his arm out the door and you don't know what's happening. He pulls his arm back and his fucking hands hanging off because people were chopping it with a machete.
You got to see this movie, Stratton.
I heard really good things about it. It was the really year before. Good. So last year was Get Out, was like the horror movie that a lot of people talked about that it sort of surprised.
Yeah.
The year before was a Green Room.
Yeah, for sure. Green Room was really good.
But I haven't seen it. I think it's on Netflix. If not, it's on one of the streaming services for sure. I just can't remember which one.
Pape it. All right. My homework assignment before I went on holiday in Europe was The Godfather 2. Man. We had a great conversation about this. And I feel like we did. Can I just say, I liked it. I liked it more than the first one. On all the top 10 lists of like sequels better than the original, this is always in like on everybody's list. It's either number one or number two. Sometimes people will put Empire Strikes Back above A New Hope.
Oh, Empire Strikes Back is absolutely better than A New Hope.
Right. It is.
Oh, okay.
But, okay, so which sequel was more better than the original?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, it's either number one or two.
All right,
it's
I thought you were saying lists where sequels are better than the original.
It is. That is. So, like...
But you're, like, which sequels were the best better than the original?
Right. And it's either Godfather 2 is always either number one or number two, and the other one that's interchangeable with it is Empire Strikes Back.
What about Back to the Future 2?
That's usually on the list.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Back to the Future. They go to the future in Back to the Future.
You just like that the Cubs won the World Series.
I knew he was going to fucking say that. They were a year late on that prediction. But anyway, and I still want my little pizza that expands into a big giant pizza.
Yeah, right.
We're waiting for it.
And the fucking hoverboard. Like the real hoverboard. I know people have been trying to make them and they came kind of close one year, but nothing like they had in the fucking movie.
Godfather 2 was fantastic.
One of the best movies I've ever seen.
De Niro, Pacino were both outstanding in this movie.
Diane Keaton was great. Jimmy Caan.
He wasn't in until...
Not Jimmy Caan.
A clip from the end.
Robert Duvall?
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall, yeah. The German. Their German brother.
Their lawyer.
Yeah, their lawyer.
There's a really cool movie poster where Al Pacino is sitting in a chair as Michael Corleone, and Robert De Niro standing behind him as Vito Corleone. Which, have you seen the Godfather movies, Threaten?
I've seen the first one. I've seen parts of the second one.
Okay. Well, those two were never in the movie together because they played parts that were 40 years apart, 30 years
probably
apart.
More.
No.
He was in his fucking early 20s.
Yeah, probably 40 years apart.
Yeah.
But I would love to have one of those movie posters with both of them in it standing with each other.
Maybe I'll get you that for Christmas, that poster of De Niro and...
I would love it.
De Niro and... I might have to find... Is it hard to get?
I don't know. Huh. I've never looked for it. I've seen pictures of it. Okay.
Maybe I'll try to get it, track it down for you. All right.
All right.
We're not going to have the Godfather 2 discussion because it's just been...
It was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
It was tragic.
I will say it's nice to see the Breaking Bad link.
That was one of the things we talked about last time that we forgot to say. Big Breaking Bad links... From
seeing Michael Corleone become the bad
anti-hero.
Guy.
Yes. He is the bad guy in that movie. He's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, he is.
Which is what Walter White was, and they even did Breaking Bad did the Godfather reference with the killing, the coordinated hits with the people in prison, like they did in Godfather 1. But
you got the gun with like Chris and my son?
Yeah, right.
All right. But
That's
Run the Jewels.
Oh, is it? Okay, I was thinking it was Childish Gambino.
No. Oh, speaking of Run the Jewels. The Run the Jewels song in
Pacific Rim.
Yeah, but it wasn't Run the Jewels. That was just DJ Shadow because there were no lyrics. All right. So your homework assignment for next week got Sean Bean or Sean Bon in it.
Sean Bon.
Sean Bon. That's Sean Bean for all you people who don't watch, who don't have Facebook memes. Anyway, winter is coming.
He dies in everything. Is he going to die in this one? He's got to.
I don't want to spoil it.
I'll watch it.
Called Black Death. It's also got Danny.
The name of the movie is Black Death. He's going to die.
It's got Karis van Houten, who is from the place I just came from.
Bruges?
The Netherlands. And I also like to call her Guy Pearce's baby mama, because that's all women are good for. No, just kidding. Just kidding, ladies. Karis van Houten. In
Eddie
Redmayne.
Redmayne?
Is it Redmayne or Redbane?
Redmayne.
Redmayne. Eddie Redmayne. I think it's one of his first movies. Movies like, gotta be like 2011, 2010.
2010.
Yeah. It's old movie. Great movie. It's dated, but it's not a period piece. It's dated back to like the Knights Templar shit. So some sword fights, some battles, as Jon Snow would say. Some battles. All right, that's your homework assignment. All right, for our revisit, we decided to do The Shining.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at you because I forgot what we decided.
Oh, yeah, I always remember.
But because of Ready Player One and...
Yeah. We did two other movies that were supposed to be in Ready Player One that weren't.
This one was wasn't supposed to be, and it was one of the best parts of the movie.
It was. It was fucking great. All the ghosts dancing. Oh, so fun. Fantastic.
Which wasn't much of a Shining scene. Honestly.
No, that wasn't a Shining scene.
But it was in the
Shining scene
challenge, whatever you want to call it.
They know. They know what's up.
Here's Johnny.
The Shining. All right. That's The Shining, which was
starring the gorgeous Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall, is that who that was?
In The Shining.
Yeah?
Yeah. Olive oil from the Robin Williams Popeye.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't think she's that gorgeous.
Oh, she's not. I was saying, didn't old Jackie he get an Oscar nomination for The Shining?
Nicholson?
Yeah, I think he got an Oscar nom for that one. It might have been One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but yeah, he likes to play the crazy guy. The Shining is a Stephen King epic. Probably the most popular Stephen King movie.
I've actually been to the hotel in Colorado, and I can't remember the name right now. The Stanley. I think it's called the Stanley. Where it wasn't filmed there because the weather didn't cooperate with the filming schedule of the movie. So they actually shot it on a set in, I believe, London.
Okay.
But Stephen King stayed in the Stanley Hotel in Colorado where he was inspired to write the novel, where they also filmed all the hotel scenes from Dumb and Dumber.
Okay. Cool little fact.
Remember when they run up the stairs and he tackles Lauren. What was her name? The redhead?
Lauren Holly?
Yes. Lauren Holly. He tackles her before she gets upstairs. And
that's Jim Carrey's wife. Ex-wife.
They were married?
Yeah, they got married.
I'm the rightful owner of that briefcase you got there. Well, Mr. Samsonite, there's no money in there. But what you will find is a bunch of eye. Oh, I can't even do it. Oh, I love that movie.
It's a pretty good one.
What if they would have shot you in the face?
We were willing to take that chance. All right. Sorry. I told you we'd have a great fucking episode of... you want to do a quote?
Yeah, since we talked about The Godfather 2 and we never got to hear me say that quote.
Yeah, you do that one. I got one from Pacific Rim. Okay. And you already know what it's going to be.
If anything in this life is certain, if history has taught us anything, it's that you can kill anyone.
Today, we are canceling the apocalypse.